Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the three of five singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los Ricky quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello and welcome back finally to another episode of Messi and Co. I'm Ashley, I think. Yeah, I'm Ashley here as always with my co-hosts Gian and Matt, back from international break. Although we didn't play or participate in it, we took obviously a week off from the action. But how are you boys feeling? Had a nice little break, and before we get back into the thick of it for the season, how are we feeling?
I've loved international football. I'm glad that it was just so entertaining to watch. I always love watching those kinds of games, and I'm so ready to watch Miami play again on Saturday. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm good too. I feel like I played. Like, I don't know why.
I feel like
I think that sometimes when you like take time off, you know, it sometimes you end up more tired than before you took the time off. But no, I'm good. As always, love watching international soccer, like Matt was saying. Like, it's so fun to watch all these players that we watch at a club level daily, to really put on the country colors and put out for their squads. And I don't know, it's just a different environment rooting for, you know, obviously South American soccer, watching Spain also. I really enjoy watching Spain because of Lamine Yamal and some of these players that are in Barca. Seeing guys like Julian Alvarez, even though he's not a Barca guy, but I think he's a great player. Seeing him with Argentina was fun. My team, Ecuador, let's go Ecuador. We're still in second place, even though I feel like we got robbed at the end there. But just all around fun. There's always soccer, even when there's not. There is. Like, it's yes. It's just a lot of fun. So glad to be back though with you guys. So
agreed. Yeah, I was. We were texting in the group chat. I was saying, I think it was this past Sunday, where the international matches, like the Euro, I think it's called maybe Nations League, or it's called something like that, whatever, some type of version of UEFA. The quarterfinals, we were watching Netherlands versus Spain, which was an amazing game, went to penalty kicks. Also Portugal versus Denmark was an amazing game. You had France versus Croatia, like all these Italy, Germany, like excellent games. And yeah, watching it, you're just like, wow, it's so fun. Like, the international break is so fun.
It's so much fun
to watch powerhouse countries,
which was interesting. Like, two of them went to penalties. Spain, yeah. Netherlands went to penalties. France, yeah. Croatia went to penalties. And even the Portugal one was cool. I feel like it was a pretty even game, and then Portugal went ahead. So
yeah,
they were just all high scoring. They were all high scoring.
They were high scoring, like high quality goals. Yeah. Too. Like, Ronaldo missed a penalty, but then scored like an insane goal that like not many people would score. And you're just like, God, what is happening? Like, Trincao had these goals. Yeah, it was super fun. Watched England, watched the U.S. men's national team, which I honestly may do an episode on, because I was so severely disappointed in what I saw. And there's a lot to talk about with the World Cup happening next year. So on this channel, look out for maybe an international focused episode. But let's talk about, speaking of international, we did have some people from Miami play in the international window. And although, you know, not the normal high flyers that had been in the past, namely Messi. We did have other boys a lot playing in the youth team. So you had Noah Allen, you had Kremaski, Santiago Morales, and then you had
Velasco Segovia.
Segovia, thank you, playing for Venezuela against your Ecuador, Gian. But so, you know, a little bit of action. Then everyone else, it seemed most of the other players took the opportunity to rest. There was the open training session that Matt went to and got to see some of the other players kind of do a nice little practice, nice like season ticket holder fun event. But yeah, this, you know, for the Inter Miami perspective, I think you'd say that these last 2 weeks have been pretty chill.
Yeah, like chill. It was good to see. It was good to see the Inter Miami guys on the international stage, especially for Noah Allen playing Greece. I thought that was a lot of it was a lot of fun seeing that. Or it was exciting for him to get that opportunity to represent his one of his nationalities, I guess you could say. And for Benja Grimaci, for Santi Morales, we both got to see them get caps for the youth national teams for USA, both captained one of those games. So it just shows to you that we have two natural just leaders, young leaders in this squad, which is something that is we should look forward to in the future for this club. And that Telesco Scaloia just doing his thing with the Vino Tinto. But he was honestly, in my opinion, he was playing really very well. He got a good amount of minutes. And even though I think he lost one of the games, I think it was Ecuador. No, he lost to, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think they beat Peru. But no, it was a lot of fun to see them. It was good to see them. And for the open training, it was very interesting to see the guys train, just have some fun on the field. We got to see Messi, you know, continue his recovery, and we got to see players like Obando was there. Like, he wasn't dressed obviously for training, but he walked with the team into the locker room, which was interesting to see. And overall, it was very chill, very fun.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that our young guys are getting a lot of playing time again, even though it's with the youth teams other than Telesco Segovia. I think it's just really good for the development of this team. Yeah. It's something that this team is banking on the youth movement. You know, a lot of times people and fans and media focus on like the older guys on our team, and they kind of overlook the fact that we have such a young roster outside of some of, you know, the four vets that came from Barca. The Inter Miami's banked on them, and I think that they've done a great job at really putting them in places to succeed. And some of these guys, look at them, they're getting time with the youth teams, and eventually I don't think it's ruled out that we're going to see them on senior rosters, whether it's, you know, for the US or whether it's Greece. I think a lot of these guys are really earning their minutes, and it's great for them to not sit around, especially at that young age. You know, yeah, some of these older guys I think need rest. You know, guys like Suarez, that even though he's no longer on the team, but on the international team, but like Messi, for example, like these are guys that do need rest. But these younger guys, it's good to give them activity, I think, like during this time off, and they get to learn from other things that they can probably bring back to Inter Miami, things that they're going to learn from the outside. I think that when you're developing as a young guy, yeah, it's great to have the guidance from your club team. But when you go to an international level, there's just so much more that goes on in those sorts of teams. So just great experience for them. And I think Inter Miami is going to be an even better team for it. And these guys will continue to grow.
100% agree. I especially think in the future, if the team keeps performing as is and these players play as is, you're going to see Yannick Bright probably playing for Italy, I think, sooner rather than later. You may see Ian Frey playing for either the US or Jamaica. So, yeah, overall exciting. But, you know, kind of circling on what you just said, someone who rested, who we did not expect to be resting, was Messi. And it worked out because Argentina not only qualified for the World Cup, which is obviously great and no surprise, but good to have finished with, they dominated both of their matches. And, you know, Lionel Messi was watching at home. And I think, you know, everyone's plan is that he is going to play in this World Cup next year. And I think being able to watch the performances of him without him probably brings him a lot of security and confidence and belief. And just, yeah, the team overall. I'll let you cook, Matt, because you're from Argentina. So why don't you tell us how insane that game was, where they absolutely dominated Brazil 4-1.
I still got that adrenaline rush. Honestly, I'm still celebrating that victory because you just never see that type of victory happen in an Argentina versus Brazil type of match. It's always like a one goal game, maybe a two goal game, and it's the fact that Argentina were able to to go to El Monumental, host Brazil, and just kind of and completely destroy them, dominate them in every possible way. They didn't even let them touch the ball. Is something that it just shows that this national team is just on a completely other level, and this is probably they show you why they won the World Cup. They show you why they won back-to-back Copa Americas, why they won the Finalísima. And they're not letting that get to their heads. And they knew the job going into the Brazil. They already qualified for the World Cup before even going into that game. But they just wanted to send a message, and they wanted to talk on the field. But no, it was a lot of fun. And doing it all without Messi, it just makes it so much more sweeter, because it's like, because this is not Messi's team, if that makes sense. This is Argentina. Like this team plays as a unit together with Messi or without Messi. And that is probably the best thing that you can ask for, because we've seen an Argentina side in the past where it was just, we were relying on Messi to score goals, to win games. And then people would give him hate for it because he wasn't doing it. But with players like De Paul, with players like McAllister, Julian, now we have Giuliano Simeone, we have Thiago Almada stepping up, Otamendi, Romero. This is the best team that has ever probably been assembled in Argentina's history, and it shows you with the 4-1 win against Brazil.
I really think that this Argentina team is really mirroring Inter Miami in the sense of like they know that they have to expect to live life without Messi,
yeah,
and that they're not going to always be able to rely on him. And that they've got to become a better team. They've got to become a solid team. And it's not dependent solely on Messi. They've got to be able to perform when he's not on the field as well. And that's the same thing that we see with this Inter Miami team. I think this Inter Miami team, just like Argentina, is brought in players knowing that they're going to have games where it's just going to be about this team. It's not going to be reliant on one player. And they've got to continue to get the results. They've got to continue to perform well. And they've got to continue on track to meet their objectives, and they're like mirror images, I really feel. And they've mm-hmm. both teams have done a really good job of being able to hold the fort down while Messi takes care of whatever Messi has to do, whether it's injuries, whether he's got to step away for anything else, whether it's just maintenance. They've got to be able to put the results on the table. And look, Argentina's a team that won the World Cup. The expectations are high for them to win another World Cup. And as crazy as that may seem, they look like they're on track. Inter Miami broke the record for points. They won the Supporters' Shield. But I think even though they didn't win the actual championship, I think the expectation is still very high for them. How's it going to look like if Messi's not playing, that these guys are dropping points left and right? No, this is a team that will continue to be good. I'll go as far as saying this, and I hope we all take this the way I'm intending it to be. This team without Messi is still one of the best in the league, and I think that's a good thing. And I think Messi would agree, and I think Messi would be glad and proud to hear that, because he no longer has to shoulder the team and have that weight on him, knowing that if I can't take a week off because I have this injury, I have to play through it because this team is not going to be able to win without me. It's quite the opposite. This team, with guys that were brought in like Tadeo, with guys that can come in and slot in the meantime like Fafa. Now you've got Telasco, that is basically Messi's replacement when he's not there, can play his role. Like, I think this is good for Messi. It's good for Inter Miami. It's good for MLS. And this team is top three, if not top one, still without Messi. And we're still, again, so much better with Messi on the pitch, but we're no longer reliant on him, just like Argentina.
Yeah. I honestly like this. I think it worked out in a lot of ways. And I'm hoping when we look back at this moment in this window, few weeks, months from now, when this Inter Miami season, don't forget we have the Club World Cup is coming really soon. It's like 2 months away and some change. And the prize for it is $100 million. And look, I don't think anyone is expecting Inter Miami to beat Real Madrid or City or any of that, but hey, they'd like a chance. You know what I mean? They want to see how far you can get in the tournament. And so moments like this, I think where Messi can, for the last 15 years, Messi has not had one day off, right? Like when he's not, he's the most important player for every single team he's ever played for.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the World Cup comes next year and when he's, you know, if every the next Argentina, whatever, you expect that you take that exact lineup and that exact game plan and you probably switch him with Almada and that's your team and you're ready. Like, yeah. You have all of those other players playing at such a high level, like McAllister really stepping up, Enzo Fernandez, Julian Alvarez, etc. Yeah. So it was a really, I couldn't believe watching it. The Brazil team
wanted to read a lot of work quote. To do. I wanted to read a quote, sorry, that I forgot to read when I was saying about Inter Miami. Basically that the players, and that's how the players feel too, not just from an outside perspective, is they asked Fafa about Messi not playing, and Fafa said, obviously we're much better with him than without him, but right. this group has to do whatever we can. He's the type of leader that believes in our group and we believe in our group. So I feel like that kind of like what I shared, I feel like the players also to a certain extent feel that way as well, where they believe in team right now over one single player, still knowing that they're much better with him, but they know that they can do this when he's not on the pitch as well.
And I think that's good for him mentally too, to be able to not have to feel that pressure every single day anymore. Right. And I think that means he'll be able to enjoy the moments better, you know, recover better and hopefully continue to elongate, you know, his greatness. So, so that was a great game by Argentina, great window. And they were able to do it without Messi. So a win for everybody. But this is not only just a Messi show again, this is also an Inter Miami show. So what did Inter Miami do during the international window just now? They signed Alan Obando. And that is a – I'll let now we're switching countries. I will let Gian talk about the young Ecuadorian talent who is going to bring some definite firepower, I think, to this team and is another example of what is hopefully more balance, more depth, and more excitement when it comes to the roster.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really good for Inter Miami to bring in another young talent, another young guy that, you know, 18 years old from Esmeraldas, Ecuador, 6'2", a tall forward, a guy that's really strong. I know it's not like he weighs 200 pounds, but he's a strong guy, 172 pound kid that is really in a good part of his early career, has a lot of time already playing with the Ecuadorian U20 team. I think in 2025 he played 4 games for the U20 South American Championship, with which he had 2 goals and 1 assist. So that's really good through 4 games. Yeah. And you look at Luis Suarez and you understand, like, he's obviously doing very well for us. He's scoring, he's assisting, but he's a guy that I feel like I can't remember how much time he's missed. It seems like he's always on the pitch. He's the one guy that you thought, you know, would be more brittle and maybe miss more games is a guy that's been really consistent so far this early on in the season. But he's going to need rest with the amount of games, with the amount of tournaments that we have. And what better to bring in a young guy that's going to have the legs, that's going to have the physicality and the energy to come in and give Suarez some breathing time, whether it's coming in as a sub or whether it's just playing an entire game for him. I think that this is really good for Inter Miami. And it goes back to what we said earlier, that Inter Miami is really banking on the young talent and being able to bring in talented players from South America, develop them, be able to have good results from a team level using these young talented guys. And then probably later on, it's a business move as well, right? It's developing them and then being able to sell them on. And I think both sides end up benefiting. Inter Miami benefits financially and from a competitive standpoint, but also these young guys get a lot of visibility on them that may otherwise they may not have had at other clubs just because of how much visibility Messi brings to Inter Miami. He's really good. He's a holding forward that is going to be able to, I think, do a lot of kind of like what Suarez does now sometimes, where he'll stand in the middle of the field up top and be able to we'll have players that are going to be able to play off of him. And he's really good at shooting, kicks the ball really hard. I think that just adds another dynamic as well. So I'm really happy for this young kid that's going to be coming here. We've seen so many rumors about him, I feel like, for months. And finally, Inter Miami has announced him. And I feel like he's going to get playing time really, really soon. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's just going to be sitting on the bench there. But one thing that was interesting is I think the original, news was that Atletico Madrid had bought him and then were loaning him out to Inter Miami, Barcelona, and Ecuador. But I think they announced that he actually has an option to buy after the loan. So I thought that that was kind of interesting. I thought that, you know, I'm not sure what happened there, but the news kind of changed around there. So we'll see if he ends up doing well after the loan. He stays with us, probably plays a couple more years, and then he's probably out with hopefully greener pastures.
I was going to ask, because you obviously are more familiar with this kid than I am, but in terms of playing time, I've already seen a lot of people comparing Obando to a potential Campana replacement. Because, like, you know how Campana was for us, right? He would come off the bench. At least when Suarez was here, he would come off the bench. He would sometimes clutch up in those moments in the last minute. Maybe he'll score a goal. But then he would play sort of like that deep lying like forward role, like target forward role. And so do you think, like, at 18 years old, like, is Obando going to be that guy to maybe match Campana's, I guess, style or, like, you know, his usage?
I think that with Obando, he's probably a guy that's going to a certain extent, stay up top. But I think that he does have a bit more speed and I think ability to probably take players more so than Campana did. So I think he's a bit more versatile, if I could say, or than what Campana did. Campana was just really good at making something out of nothing. Like it looked like the play was over and all of a sudden he ends up with a bicycle kick goal. Like with he would have these crazy like goals. So that's something that it was very particular to Campana, but I just think there's a bit more speed and a bit more versatility with this young kid. And I also think it's just so early on in he's 18 years old. I feel like they can really develop him into what they need. Like these are still like 18 years old are like the formative years of this player. Over the next 1 to 2 years, I think his play style is going to develop more here. So it's
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You know, I feel like if they continue to do what Mascherano has been doing, it's going to be really good for Obando because he's going to have a lot of liberty. I think that while Mascherano is disciplined in some areas on the pitch, he's also very, like, he gives his players freedom to kind of just float around. And that's what we've seen with Suarez this year over what he did last season. Yeah. He's just been able to float around. We've seen him on the left wing. We've seen him play on the right. We've seen him play in the middle. So I think that with Obando, that's going to suit him very much just because it probably isn't much saying this, but he moves a lot more than Suarez. And it also it'll help for us on defense too, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when Messi's on the pitch and Messi's staying up. When we're on defense, you're going to have, unlike Suarez, that, you know, he does help a bit sometimes, but we'll probably have Obando more, I think, entrenched in helping out when we're on defense.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm interested to see like how much playing time he's going to get because we've all said like, oh, like Suarez needs rest, which is true.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's surprising like how Suarez has yet to hit the bench.
Yeah.
Like at all, like because he could play Tadeo up top or something or someone else, but he doesn't. So I'm very interested to see what how many minutes Obando can get. I would love to see the versatility that he can bring to this this team, his technical ability, his pace, his physicality, like you said. And only being 18 years old, I saw that he made his professional debut at 16. So it just shows more maturity from this kid. We have a lot of mature young players on this team, which is like it's something that we're being known for too. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see what happens with this kid.
Me too. Yeah, I agree with everything everyone said. It seems like overall a good signing, and it will afford some of that rest and rotation in the attack that we're gonna obviously need. You know, with a lot happening, and that's gonna transition me to our final topic, which is the Philadelphia Union match. Before we do that, I want to give some context to why this is a very interesting game and why we're at a very interesting point in the season. So we are in, as we've talked about before, a lot of big tournaments this year as an Inter Miami club, and we have very big aspirations and goals. We're in, I think it's midweek where we have the first leg of the Champions Cup round of 16, right? Or quarterfinal, quarterfinal against LAFC, which obviously is a tournament that we feel that we could continue to progress in, and that is a priority to progress in. We have the club championship starting the first week of June in 2 months, which is something that is going to be the main focus of the team to see how far they can get. And then we have obviously the overall goal, which is to win the MLS Cup. You know, obviously we would like to secure maybe a new points record, but at the very least high seeding and making it to the MLS Cup. So, you know, this game I think is interesting because it's important in the sense that, look, the Philadelphia Union are right now first in the Eastern Conference. If Inter Miami win, they go above them. And so then now they're first, which is obviously good. But I think there's also something to be said that the game on midweek for the LA Galaxy is, or excuse me, LAFC is really, really important. Just to read the schedule out, what we have is that we have Philadelphia Saturday. We're going to LAFC Wednesday. The game doesn't start until 11:30 p.m., by the way.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh my God.
Which sucks. But, you know, it is what it is. And then we play Toronto. We play the other LAFC. Then we play Chicago, a few more. And then we play every 4 to 7 days until match day one of June 14th. So busy next bit of time for Inter Miami, and they're important. I mean, the Champions Cup is so important, and, you know, keeping ourselves high in this division is important. So I give all that context to say, will Messi play? I do not think so. Yeah, I don't think so. I know you said, you know, that it showed obviously at the training. He did a little bit of work. So I'm doing a little bit of individual work. I mean, yeah, it's good to see that, you know, he can move. It's just obviously he's carefully getting himself better, right?
Yeah. At the open training, he was just doing some very light work, and it shows that. But he was moving around like pretty good. Like it didn't look like he was in any discomfort, so it looks like he's recovering pretty well. Will Messi play, like, against Philly? In my opinion, I don't think he will. I don't know. Honestly, I don't even know how much Messi's going to be playing now, because if you remember the conversation that we had before about, like, when should we be very worried about Messi? I wasn't worried unless I said I wasn't worried unless he missed the games against Argentina. So, like, now I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about this now, because it's like with Messi playing in general,
amazing in the Atlanta game.
Yeah, but it's like, how do you want? But then, like, he'll get injured. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll play amazing, but then, like, he'll get injured, and then he'll have to sit out for another 2 weeks, and then he'll come back, and then he gets injured again. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, I think it's gonna be very interesting to see how Messi's minutes will be managed from now until the summertime. Because it's like, if he's going to be constantly, yeah, like, he's recovering well now, and yeah, like, he looks, every time he touches the field, he looks good. But I really don't want him to, like, rip something out. Like, I don't want this, like, injury thing to keep affecting him from, like, preventing him to play. Like, I would love to see him play, like, once a week. But, like, if he's going to play a game, play 60 minutes even, and then injure the adductor again and then rest for 2 weeks, it's like, well, you're just kind of, this is kind of like a little, it's a little weird to me. So I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I think the tough thing is to kind of look at a practice and then be able to say something based off of practices, because practice is so different than playing in an actual
game. Talking about practice?
I mean, really need to make that a segment.
Did you watch that, Matt?
I did watch
it. You didn't tell us about it.
I forgot to tell you guys.
But it's tough, because it's not the same as playing in a game. So somebody might look a certain way and then just not be ready to play in game time. And then, you know, Messi, yeah, every time he goes on the pitch, he looks like he's fine, and you're like wondering why he's not playing. So it's really, it's a tough thing to kind of debate, because you want to see him, as Matt said, on the pitch every week, but at what cost? And how do you manage that as a team? Is it reducing the number of games he plays? Is it reducing the minutes within each game? Is it a mix of both? Is it you don't play? Because I know last season it was like, if there was a midweek game, you knew what, he was missing one of those games. Like it happened very often last season. So it's really going to depend. And at the end of the day, what is really happening with Messi? It's like, it's the same area. And is it something that needs surgery? Is it something that he said, you know what, bro, I'm 37 years old. Like, I'm not going to get surgery right now. I'm just going to, you know, I'll play a couple games and I won't. Like, maybe that's just the approach. And maybe that's just what we're going to have to do. Just
taking time to treat it,
I think you can't really, you know, really hammer it in on him that he's got to get surgery. He's got to, at this point in his career, he's done everything he's needed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, and those are big surgeries and that sort of thing. At the end of the day, for me, if I'm really thinking, is he going to be able to play or not, and trying to figure that out, I have no idea.
That's what I'm saying. I think we're going to have to see.
In times where we've looked like, okay, you've looked at the schedule. The schedule says that he's, based on the schedule, he's already missed these games. He should play today. You look at the practice. He practiced perfectly. He looked great. Never touched his leg. That also points to him playing. You talk to, you know, Mascherano said there's a 90% chance that he's going to play. Okay. I take all of those factors. I use the scientific method, and I, you know, like I did in elementary school, and it says that he's going to play, and then he's not on the roster. And it's like, bro, it's like impossible. So it's tough to know. I honestly would say I don't think he plays, just because of the fact that he just previously missed what, 3 games, or so, and then he comes back and he gets injured. Like, it's too short of a time. It's still early on in the season. Philadelphia is a good team. They weren't good last season, but they're doing pretty good this season. They're first on the table. Yeah, they have a game, you know, one game in hand over us. But at the same time, they're scoring. They're doing good. They have 4 wins, 1 loss. They have 12 goals that they've scored. In comparison, we've scored, Chicago has 9, Charlotte has 10, Miami, we have 9 with a game less. But they're a good team so far. So I still think we have enough to compete with them, especially at home. We're playing at home. We've got a solid team. So I think that we can still get the win, regardless with or without Messi right now. So I would just rest Messi if I'm the team. There's bigger things than this game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not worried about not winning. I know we're gonna win.
I'm literally worried about
Messi ripping his leg open. Like,
I really hope he plays in the LAFC game. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean,
the league would rather, like, if the league has to pick a game where it would make more sense and they want to play it against LA, like the big market team, 100%. Like, yeah. I think
why even they make the game at 11:30? Ugh, that was so.
I mean, that's West Coast for you.
I know, but they could have done 10.
Well, yeah, they could have gone from 8:30 to, they could have done a 7 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. time, something like that. But 11:30 for the East Coast is crazy. You're talking about what, finishing the game like at 1:30?
1 a.m. Yeah, 1:30.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then if you do a postseason, like, you know. Yeah. Ashley's going to be doing a post game for us. Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah, we're going to go live as soon as after the game.
Yeah,
2 a.m. And
at 2 a.m.
Exactly.
We'll talk for an hour. We need
like a Messi and Co. Like West Coast syndicate that can do those shows for us.
Yeah, maybe. We may just have to do a reaction the next day for this one. But it is, I know I sound like a broken record, but this is now really an exciting time for the team, because for the next, you know, 8 weeks, we are, like I said, the games are constant. There's some weeks where it's a full 7 days, some weeks where there's 2 games in a week, some when there's 3 in a week. So it's exciting. We have great rotation. We have great depth. The team has been playing well. I'm hoping, you know, with the Messi being able to have rested the last 2 weeks and managing himself, them managing, you know, his body and his availability, we'll see the team continue to rise and see more greatness. So I agree that even though it will be a difficult game against Philadelphia, I believe in this Inter Miami team, and, you know, maybe try not to have a red card for this game, and that'll be sweet.
Would be nice.
You know, have 11 players play the whole game. That would be a really sick start. But I'm excited for it.
Wait, actually, I think the prudent thing to do would to be at rest Tadeo, right? Like, this is a big game against LAFC. I think that you just need to make sure.
But what about that, the rest versus rust thing? You know, people say, like, they've been off for the couple weeks, you know.
Yeah, maybe it's, maybe it's managing minutes more than anything. This will be great
Mascherano time, right? Like, yeah. We're about to see, I think, over the next 2 weeks where you have – you're playing against a few top Eastern standings teams.
Yep.
You're playing an incredibly important tie for the quarterfinals of the Champions Cup, and you're managing the return of Messi, and you're managing the return off of the international break, and the you know, obviously the adrenaline and the what we had been kind of feasting off of those last few weeks where we were kind of riding the wave. Obviously, that momentum stops and it resets. How are you going to get everyone back up? And that's what we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Oh, I'm interested to hear your guys' predictions for the Philly game.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you guys, do you guys prefer a loss against Philly if you knew we would beat LA?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yes.
Yes.
I think it's the more important game.
No, because I'm thinking about what you guys are going to predict now.
But just piggybacking off of what you said, if you had to choose... Okay, uh-huh. I know it's crazy early on in the season. It was just to have some fun. If you had to choose between MLS Cup and Champions Cup. Champions Cup? Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine winning the Champions Cup and not winning MLS Cup.
That would That's be wild. Crazy. I mean, I think they can do both, but if you had a fun exercise. To
choose one.
What's more important to you? How about that?
Well, the Champions Cup gives you a lot more. It gives you opportunities to participate in more things to grow the club on a global level. It's like the same question people say, like, you know, the Champions League versus your La Liga or the Premier League. Like, which do you think Real Madrid prefer, to win a Champions League or to win the to win La Liga in a given year?
Yeah, and I was thinking, if we win $100 million. Not for this one, obviously. I was thinking about this. If we win $100 million for winning the
how much do we get
World Cup?
Yeah.
Do you think we can convince the league to convert that to GAM and then we buy like Lamine or something?
I think that's so possible.
I'm down.
I think it's very possible. I think Lamine would be ecstatic to join us. Actually.
I'm joking, but I wanted to investigate that because I was wondering, like, what happens with those $100 million or euros or whatever it is. Like, I wonder if anything can be converted to GAM or if I don't know how.
Yeah, because like, there's no way. Because like, let's say, like, I don't know how
it's getting converted to. If the winner gets $100 million, but you never know.
Yeah, if the winner gets $100 million, like if we end up like I don't know, if we're like in fifth place, we still get like a decent.
Well, it's a little under $100 million. It's like 99 point something, but it's all in tiers. So like if you get to the quarterfinals, it's something. If you get to semis, it's more. And it's just, it would be 99 point something accumulated if you end up getting to the finals. It's not like the finals is like 50 million or something like that. But you end up with 99, almost $100 million because of other tiers that you've made. So either way, like for us, okay, maybe we don't get to the $100 million, but we could end up earning 20-something, 30-something million dollars. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, is it like how is that money then kind of digested by the club and then used for other things? Is it probably just everybody gets a bonus? Is it like, you know, are we getting new seats and you know,
we're getting a new stadium.
We're getting a new
Is that gonna help? Is that gonna pay for overtime for the stadium? And maybe it's, you know, done sooner. Like, I don't know how that that part works, but
I know we're joking around, but hopefully it continues to, you know, be put into the club and helps grow the league, right? Like that's what the hopes of these tournaments are, is that you have more high paid players coming to the league. More parity, more excitement, right? Not just one or two good teams and everyone else.
I'll say this. I don't care about parity, by the way. I could care less about parity.
They should just use all that cash money and for Messi's new contract next year. For Messi's
new agreed. Contract. Honestly, agreed.
There you go. We're all
like, that's problem solved. Want. That's it.
Yeah, agreed. Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, I'd say the first step is for Inter Miami to get back into the competitive spirit with this game on Saturday. You know, dust off the cobwebs and get this team back and rolling. So with that, score predictions. I know, Gian, you said you're interested in what ours will be. So, Matt, you go first.
Okay. I want to win because why wouldn't you? And I think deep. Messi. Huh? What'd you say?
That was deep. That was deep. I want to win because why wouldn't you? Such a deep
well, because
only,
like,
only Matt gives us those insights.
Yes, no. This is why you guys brought me on.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why you're part of the team. For that type of company.
Exactly. But finally, look, someone says it.
No, because I'm thinking, okay, well, I want to win, but like, would I care if we win? Maybe, I don't know, because like, I like we talked about, I'd rather lose on Saturday and then we absolutely obliterate LAFC in their own home. So, I think we're still gonna come out fine. We had a lot of rest. We had a packed schedule. I think we're going to see a lot of players return. I don't think Messi's going to play. I still think we're going to end up winning because, like, we play really well in our house. And I think even though it's against a really top Philly side who are doing pretty well early in the season, I still think that we're kind of in this mojo and Mascherano just won't settle for anything less. So I'm going to predict a 2-1 win for Inter Miami. Yeah. And if we lose, we're probably going to lose 2-1.
But 2-1 either way.
Yeah, 2-1 either way. That's an interesting prediction. Honestly, I know it's maybe not as sexy, but don't worry. We have 100 of these, thousands more of these previews coming. I agree. I think it's going to be 2-1 Inter Miami. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give the same score prediction. Part of me wants to say 2-2 because I think that may be – is a little more realistic, but I don't want to choose anything other than Miami winning until I have to. And so for this, you know, we have remained undefeated. And so, you know, without a loss because of that, that's what I want. 2-1. And so that's that. Yeah. Agreed.
I'm going 2-2. I am going 2-2. Because I was going to go 1-1, but then you said 2-2, and that sounded better. So
okay, well, then there you go.
I'm going 2-2 just because I feel like we're going to have a little bit of a rotated lineup. Even though I think our lineup will still be good, I think it'll be 2-2.
Yeah, okay, very possible.
We all don't think Messi's going to play.
Yeah, I don't think Messi's playing. Okay. I don't think there's any chance, especially with LAFC 3 days or 4 days later.
Even if we go a man down and
I'll just put this prediction out or this thought out, which I wouldn't want, by the way. But if we do see minutes for Messi on Saturday, I think it means he's not going to go to the West Coast, which would I don't want that, but I could see
but
that.
Like, that's a
that
very,
would, that would make
like,
zero sense, though. That would make zero
But that's
sense.
Something that could happen. Like that
travel, I mean, that's 6 hours there and, 6 hours there and back.
Could
and
think
and
of it, any could it happen? Yes, anything.
And they think, and the team has been playing well. LAFC has not had a great start to their season, and we have the second round at home.
Okay, I mean, yeah, anything can happen. I'm not going to disagree there. I would think that's crazy, though. I would think picking Philadelphia over LAFC is crazy. The guys are flying. I mean, Messi's flying.
I get it. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
It's like we're playing chess right now.
I've had more. Like
what move are we getting? What's we're trying to think like three games ahead. Four games ahead.
You know, we'll find out. Like I said, in these next few weeks, we'll find out really. I think what's what, and start to see some consistency cadence because there is not Argentina looming. There's only big games looming, right? Tournament games, important games, league games, all that stuff. So. Let us know in the comments your score prediction and if you think Messi's going to play. But we are back. Messi & Co. is back. We have a lot of episodes coming, a lot of exciting stuff happening this season. We're about to, like I said, games, big moments. And you'll be there with us every step of the way. So for this episode of Messy & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
Oh, Miami.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.